Here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
Cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. Glad to have you with us. I am Packer Dave. We'll be joined by Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago and go over the Bears' playoff loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. Later in the program, John Poulter from Toronto will join us, and we'll discuss NHL hockey and touch on Premier League soccer. But we will kick this thing off with the Packers and their new coach. Matt LaFleur is a new coach of the Green Bay Packers. He comes to them from the Tennessee Titans. He was the offensive coordinator for 1 year. And before that, he was in L.A. under Sean McVay. So like a lot of teams going after these young offensive coordinators that they feel have potential. And so Matt LaFleur is the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers. The Packers think they found a gem. Don't they all? Don't they all say that? No. I remember the Cardinals last year, Steve Wells. He's going to be great. We couldn't have done any better. It's fantastic. And he was one and done. Now, hopefully that won't be the case for LaFleur in Green Bay, but we will wait and see. He, of course, inherits a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, good receiver, you know, fine receiver in Davante Adams. Rest of the receiving core, he'll have to work with. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has potential, and some of the other young receivers, but who knows if Randall Cobb is going to be around or if Jimmy Graham is going to be back or Lance Kendricks or any of those guys that were playing tight end for the Packers last year. David Bakhtiari, good on the line. So there are, you know, some things there offensively he has to work with. And then a good young secondary with Kenny King and Jair Alexander, recent top draft picks back there. We don't know what's going to happen with Clay Matthews. Kenny Clark up front is developing fine as a defensive lineman. So there is some talent there. But I was looking at a Packer calendar from 2013. I keep them for the pictures. Go down memory lane. And you had Charles Woodson and Donald Driver and Aaron Rodgers and all these all-star. Clay Matthews all over the place in that calendar. We don't have that anymore. So he doesn't have that talent to work with. And hopefully the Packers pick up some good free agents in the offseason and help Matt LaFleur in his inaugural season. But let's hear from LaFleur. He was flabbergasted, miffed. He was bedazzled about the fact of becoming the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Here's the new coach, Matt LaFleur.
It's always been a dream of mine to be an NFL head coach, but to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers is surreal. And I am extremely humbled. And to follow in the footsteps of Curly Lambeau, Vince Lombardi, you know, Mike Holmgren, Mike McCarthy, is truly an honor.
And then LaFleur goes, and he's getting emotional. And he goes on to thank his family and his friends and his former coaches and his dog and everything else. And then on this cut here, he talks about moving from L.A. He went to Tennessee so he could call plays. And he says that helped in his development.
It would have been easy to stay in L.A. I mean, you look at the roster and you look at the success they're having there this year, and it certainly could have been easy to stay there. I took the risk because I knew that I needed to get out of my comfort zone and grow as a coach. And, you know, the lessons I learned this year, I learned that football is not always easy. You better navigate through some adversity, and I was proud of that, you know. We went 9-7, so it certainly didn't live up to the standards that we'd have liked. Certainly, anytime you're not making, you didn't make the playoffs, I mean, that's what we're judged by, is the wins and losses. We had an opportunity to have a play-in game in the last week of the season, and unfortunately didn't get it done. So, but I know that I would not be the coach I am today without having those experiences of this past season and just facing all the adversity that we went through.
There's Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Packers. We'll see how it all works out. Should be an interesting offseason. Now let's go to Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. And let's talk about the Chicago Bears. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm good, Dave. You know, Matt LaFleur sounds like he's a mucker and a grinder. He could have come out of the NHL. You know, maybe he's from, Moose Hat, Saskatchewan or someplace like that.
No, if it's LaFleur, he's from Quebec, Steve. This is what a lot of people
Guy LaFleur. Oh, you're right.
Don't understand about Canada. They think Canada. Oh, well, it's French all over.
Mont Saint-Denis, bienvenue, mes amis. Come to Canada. Let's play hockey.
It's really not. There's one province, that's Quebec. And if you go, I'll tell you, in a great vacation spot, if you haven't been there, Quebec City, the most European city in all of North America. Looks like you're in Europe there because it was the port coming in on St. Lawrence
Seaway.
You know what
makes a great vacation spot for you, sir? Any place with a tavern and a liquor store.
Well, you've been all over because your wife drags you places because she's a travel agent. You get to go free, so that's nice for you, Steve. But you haven't been to Quebec City yet, have you? Or maybe?
I've been to Montreal. I've not been to Quebec City.
Montreal, the downtown is kind of nice there. There's an old town part there, but it pales in comparison.
Made the drive from Boston to Montreal up through Vermont and upstate New York. Beautiful, beautiful drive.
Okay. Well, anyway, French part is Quebec, friends. There's 9 other provinces. They're not primarily French. They're primarily English-speaking. Anyway, so, Matt LaFleur is the coach. I don't really have any thoughts one way or another. What about you, Steve? Any thoughts?
About Matt LaFleur?
Yeah.
Packers? Who cares?
I take that as a no. Okay, so we'll move on to the Bears.
I'm sure Green Bay, the Green Bay Gazette or whatever, they probably analyzed every word of the press conference. They got a full dossier on him. Well, you know, that's got to be one of the toughest jobs in sports, right? Because if you don't perform, whew.
Yeah, no kidding. They shot Dan Devine's dog. Now, that was back in Neanderthal days in the 70s. That's a long time ago, but... You know,
who does that? Defenseless
crazy
dog. But, I mean, we've said some cruel things on this show, but I would never, ever, belittle a pet, you know?
Of course not. You have 4 cats, Steve. And
no, we're down to 2. We took him to Dave's taxidermy studio and veterinary, and we got the cat back, but came back stuffed.
That's awful. Okay. Lucky nobody hears this.
Talk about the Bears.
All right, let's talk about the Chicago Bears.
Let's talk about the 12-4 Bears.
They had a good season, and of course, people know that. Then there was a playoff game against the Eagles last Sunday, and Nick Foles works his magic, drive the Eagles down for a go-ahead touchdown, leaves a minute on the clock. So the Bears get the kickoff. Tariq Cohen streaks past the Bears' 40-yard line, gives them great field position. Mitch Trubisky, who was up and down throughout the game and had a couple sure interceptions dropped by the Eagles' defense, puts a couple nice passes in and gets the ball down to about, the 26-yard line or so of Philadelphia. It sets up a Cody Parkey field goal. Cody Parkey kicks the first one. It is good, and the Bears he was iced. So
all I kept thinking was that you saw that commercial for Pepsi with Ron Rivera where they're, opening the Pepsi cans and icing the kicker. That's all I kept thinking about after all that sort of played itself out.
Okay, thanks for that, Steve. And then the second kick. It's up. It's going. It's going. And then it hits the crossbar, but you don't just get the single. It hits the upright. But you don't just get the single doink off the upright. You get the double doink off the crossbar, Steve. There it is. Okay. Sounded just like that if you were sitting under. Did you see the video where the Bear mascot went to...
falls over.
What's it? It fell onto...
Staley.
On the wrong side of the crossbar. the bear mascot just falls from his knees to his face on the ground. And that's how the Bears fans.
Yeah, and if you think about it, this really all goes back to a very stupid decision made by Ryan Pace early on when basically all because of money, they let Robbie Gould go. And Robbie Gould, has he done?
No, I disagree there. At the end of his Bears tenure, Robbie Gould was missing key kicks. I mean game-winning kicks. And it got frustrating for Pace. I think that's why they let him go. But, you know, this kick then, okay, everybody. I mean, I listened to Chicago sports radio that night. I'll tell you, they wanted to tar and feather Cody Parkey. And, you know, a one-point loss to the Super Bowl champions at home after a 12-4 season. You drive the ball down there. But then they find out that the kick was blocked by one of the defensive linemen of the Eagles. He got a fingertip on it.
I was going to say, must have been about a fingernail, because you look at that ball, it's spinning over top. It looked like a pretty solid kick to me.
Well, the NFL changed it to a block. So can you really blame Parkey? I mean, if he got enough of it, steer it off course. Who knows? Maybe it was going further off course and he steered it in. I don't know.
Well, the other thing that people got to remember is he is the leading scorer for the Bears in that game. He had the three field goals leading up to that. Now, of course,
that's
the Bears' fault for not putting it in the end zone, especially the two times they were, you know, inside the 20.
Okay. So before we get to some of this Bears audio from that game, Steve, your thoughts on this season?
Well, look, if I had told you at the beginning of the season the Bears were going to go 12-4, win the division, and only lose one game in the conference in the division, what would you have said? Not going to happen.
Delusional, yeah.
Right. So it's a double-edged sword. You can't be disappointed in the, you know, on the, based on what you would have, your expectations were at the beginning of the season. But of course, when you lose a heartbreaking game like that, everybody around here feels bad. But on the same token, you know, things really, really look promising for next season. You know, the top three players, arguably on offense, you know, Tariq Cohen, Anthony Miller, some of the top three, and Mitch Trubisky are all on their rookie contracts. So they're locked in. They're also going to be a very expensive, the team. And on defense, I think you got like 9 of the 11 starters are under contract. So coming back, and as you're going to hear in one of these interviews, you know, they had a learning curve. They brought in a new coach this year, new offensive system. They all had to learn it. Well, this year when they all come back for training camp, they're already kind of got to know, they know the drill. So then it's just going to be getting ready for the season.
Yeah, but you never know. Sometimes success is fleeting, Steve.
Anything
if
can
anybody
happen.
Knows that, yeah. It's you.
Oh, yeah. And anything can happen.
Taste of it.
And anything can happen on any given Sunday, Monday, Thursday, or Saturday.
True. Okay. And I've had small tastes of it. Mostly, I struggle to achieve it. It happens very seldom.
But you know what? Beer helps.
It does.
Beer makes everything seem better.
So then... you know, you look at this all, 12-4, nice run. I don't think offensively, though, they could have done it against the Rams or the Saints anyway. So yeah, I guess that's always what you say. I mean, are they going to go all the way? Only one team is very happy at the end. That's the Super Bowl champions. I remember walking out of the Super Bowl after the Packers lost to the Denver Broncos, and I was able to cover that one. And Eugene Robinson put his arm around me, and he said,
give me my helmet back, son.
No, he said, there is no glory in this. There's no glory in being the runner-up in the Super Bowl. So
if you ain't first, you're last, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, if you're not the lead dog, the rest of the view looks the same for everybody else. Okay, Steve. Have anything else to add before we get to the audio? I don't want to.
You don't want to belabor the point? No.
I just don't want to interrupt. If you know, you got anything else to add?
No, I think it's pretty good. You know, I think people will get over this, and next year it's, you know, everybody starts 0-0.
Okay. So now you're at Halas Hall. Let's get into the Bears audio.
Okay. So we talked to several players, but the best three cuts came from the following. Kyle Long, and he addressed the progress made by the team this season.
We made tremendous strides as a group. We formed an identity, and we left some unfinished business out there.
How much do you think that will drive this team through all the workouts and once you get into next season?
Yeah, I think it was a great learning experience for us. We got a chance to see the tip of the iceberg with what we have to offer in regard to talent and knowledge of the game. And our youth is such that we're going to continue to develop, and you've only seen, like I said, the tip of the iceberg.
Also, Prince Amukamara, he wants to enlist the help of his fellow defensive back, Kyle Fuller, to keep the free agents that they have.
Me and Kyle are probably going to try to recruit Amos and Bryce to think about staying a little bit longer. But we know it's a business, and we know that those guys worked hard to put themselves in the position that they're in, and by being free agents. And but yeah, we're excited that the continuity in the consistent group should be the same, and we're excited to have Mac for a full off season and get him into knowing the plays a little bit better, and we're excited to all work together.
And lastly, Allen Robinson II, who was wonderful all season, gave great interview, and you'll hear a nice little clip here. So he says, as I intimated before, there's really no learning curve next year when they arrive for OTAs.
You know, for us, it gets harder. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's exciting about this league. You know, that's what's exciting about this. You know, like I said before, as a person who has had some, personal success, especially in a particular season, I understand that, it's twice as hard. It's twice as hard. To think that we're going to, even accomplish what we did this year, next year is going to be twice as hard. So I think that's pretty understanding. So I think for here, guys just understand that. We understand that what's going to be asked ahead of us. We got to plan accordingly. Like I said before, we're going to have to work twice as hard in OTAs. We're going to have to work twice as hard in camp. We're going to have to watch twice as much film next year. Like, next year is going to be, it's going to be tough.
Are you looking forward to having an OTA offseason?
Most definitely. Most definitely. We all know each other. We all know the system. We all know the plays. We all know the checks. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it so much more, exciting. Now, seeing what we went to, like April 3rd last year, we were just trying to figure out, the formations and where to get lined up and who was going to be where, mm-hmm. And just the real vanilla, stuff. So mm-hmm. now being able to see where we left off at. In a pretty, intensive game plan, seeing how guys handle that, to have a core of our group back, to be able to kind of, break that down and move on from there, I think it's definitely big for us. It's very big.
All right, Steve, good job with the Bears there. Now let's look to the playoff schedule coming up this weekend. On Saturday at 4:35 p.m. Eastern time, it's the Colts at the Chiefs. Then, followed by the Cowboys at the Rams, that game begins at 8:15 Eastern Time. The Chargers take on the Patriots Sunday, 1:05 Eastern Time is the kickoff in New England. And Sunday afternoon, 4:40 p.m. Eastern Time, the Eagles visit the New Orleans Saints. And so some good matchups, Steve. And you also have some audio from some of the players and coaches around the rest of the playoffs.
Thanks, Dave. Well, let's start with Drew Brees. He's going to talk about Philly quarterback Nick Foles.
He's always been a pretty calm, cool customer. You look obviously at what he was able to accomplish last year and certainly what he's been able to accomplish this year during the latter part of the season. He makes plays, and I think he's got a lot of confidence in himself. I think their team seems to have a lot of confidence in him as well. We played them in the playoffs. What was that, 2013, mm-hmm. when he was the starter there with Chip Kelly, and obviously they had a great team then. And
next, Sean McVay of Los Angeles talks about stopping the Dallas run game.
Well, I think we know that's going to be a big point of emphasis. Obviously you always want to be able to stop the run, but there's certain games that you go into it with maybe a different approach. What are the keys for us to be able to get it done and win the football game as a team? And they do a lot of really good things, but certainly running the football is a big point of emphasis for them, especially with the running back that they do have, the linemen. They've got a quarterback that can create with his legs as well. So it's a great challenge. You want to see us play very sound, but I think it's about playing efficient football.
Patrick Mahomes talks about his first playoff game and his thoughts on the Colts.
For me, it's my first playoff game. I'm excited just to be here and then at the same time get the opportunity to go out there and win games like this. I mean, when you grow up, you want to go and play games like this when you get older and you want to be a professional athlete and you want to win on the biggest stage. And so for me, it's about going out there and, like I said, be myself, lean on my teammates, and try to go out there and win a big football game. Yeah, I mean, they came out and came out fast. I mean, that was one of the big things. They came out and put the pressure on, and then kind of held it the rest of the game. And so for us, we got to make sure we match the intensity right out the gate, if not try to even take it to another level. And so we know that they're coming in with a lot of confidence. They've won a lot of their last games, and so they have a lot of confidence coming in. But at the same time, we do as well, and we're going to try to get that momentum in our favor early and then try to keep it the rest of the game.
And lastly, Bill Belichick of the Patriots knows how tough the Chargers are.
Really impressive football team. Spent a lot of time watching them the last 3 or 4 days here, and really pretty good at everything. Series ended 113 games, so well coached, very disciplined. Again, outstanding in every area. They make big plays, play good defense. Got an explosive group, strong in the kicking game, and it's challenging on every play. So we're gonna have to do a good job all the way around. There's no one guy who's going to be able to stop them or block all of them or cover kicks or anything else. We're gonna need a good team effort from all the units, all the players, coaching staff, everybody, and let's go out there and be ready to compete on Sunday afternoon. It's a good football team, and a lot of respect for their coaching staff, their players, the team, the way they play, and what they've accomplished this year. So be a big challenge for us.
Thank you, Steve. Coming up, we have John Poulter from Toronto. We will touch on the National Hockey League and a bit of Premier League soccer discussion with Steve and John when we return on the Sports Report.
Hi, this is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to try the new streaming radio app from Internet FM. It features 24 online radio stations playing nothing but rock and roll. No annoying pop-up ads, little or no commercial breaks, and best of all, no sign-up required. Simply download Internet FM from the Apple Store or Google Play, and it's ready to go. Just pick your favorite station and assign it to any of the 18 programmable buttons. That's the new Internet FM app on Apple or Google Play. Download it today.
Oh, well, he's very popular. The Sportos, the Motorheads, Geeks, Sluts, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, Airheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Hi, Packer Dave. This is Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers. I know you know a lot about the Packers, but let me hang on to the job for a few more years before you take over, okay?
I don't know, Wayne. I think it'd be a good idea for you to step aside now as the new Matt LaFleur era comes in. Maybe it's time that I take that job, and it would sound kind of like this. Coach Matt LaFleur of the Packers calls the play into Aaron Rodgers. He's at the 2-yard line. He takes the snap, rolls to his left, looks to his third receiver, his second receiver, rolls to the right, throws a dart in the end zone, and it's a touchdown to Devontae Adams. And there is your Packer dagger.
Hey, if you were playing the Bears, it would be, oh, he's sacked by Khalil Mack.
Something like that.
Fumble picked up by Eddie Jackson. He's going to run it all the way.
All right, quiet. He's Steve Leventhal, and this is the Sports Report. And now let's bring in from Toronto our friend John Poulter. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Steve. How are you two guys today?
I'm great. How about you, Steve?
Oh, it's a new year and a new whatever.
Hey, John, did you see the double doink, the Bears losing to Philadelphia?
I did. Crossbar, post. This kicker has made a habit of that, hasn't he? And, you know, if that rolls the other way, it's a totally different conversation, because then we've got Chicago going to Los Angeles to play the Rams instead of Philadelphia going to New Orleans to play the Saints. Who knows how that shakes out? But before I talk about a lot of pressure on a guy, makes a kick and then has it call back because Philadelphia made a very timely call on a timeout and changed the whole course of the postseason for the NFL.
That's what they pay him for, though. But it was tipped and the kick was ruled a block. And so, and Steve, it was four other times during the season, correct, that Parkey hit one off the upright?
three times on field goals attempts and once on an extra point. And
that's four.
Somebody said if he'd have missed it, it still would, you know, it would have been a very different sort of vibe. But he actually hit the crossbar, which is statistically tough, right? It's like hitting the pipe in hockey.
Yeah, exactly. You have to wonder. I guess there are statistics on it somewhere. Certainly not anything I'm privy to, but you have to wonder how many times that might have happened over the course of the NFL, and how many times has it happened in a deciding kick or a kick that decides the game. I guess I should say low odds, I guess. But hey, that's why the posts are there, and the goaltender in hockey will tell you that the posts are part of his equipment. So maybe the NFL will say that defensively, the posts are part of their blocking team.
Here's what I think they should do in Green Bay if they keep Cody Parkey. They should put little bullseyes right on one upright and then on the other upright and then one on the crossbar and see if he can hit them. Okay, John, let's move to the National Hockey League. And what is standing out and what is the news in hockey right now?
Well, what stands out, Dave, is the continued dominance of the Tampa Bay Lightning, sitting atop of the league in just about every category. Most wins, most points, most goals scored, best goal differential, 8-1-1 in their last 10, 11-point lead over the Nashville Predators. And that's actually a little bit of a misleading factor, because not only does Tampa Bay have 11 more points, Tampa has played two less games. So, you know, got to look at it from that standpoint. The way those two teams are playing, it's possible that Tampa could win those extra two games, and it's quite a lead. Then you look at Tampa with a 12-point lead over several other teams, including Toronto and Washington, and Calgary sitting in first place in the Western Conference. That's a big surprise, 60 points. Then we go to the other end of the table and we look at some teams that over the last few years we've known as good teams, that being Chicago, St. Louis, and Los Angeles, and we find that those three teams are very close to the bottom of the Western Conference. So a lot different than what we've seen in recent years, but Tampa continues to play well. Boston, five in a row. Carolina has won five in a row, which is a little bit of a surprise. And, of course, the Vegas Golden Knights have now won seven in a row, and they're starting to show some form along the lines of what they showed in their first season when they got all the way to the Stanley Cup Final against the Washington Capitals.
Okay, John. And let's move to Premier League Soccer now. And you and Steve have some big news as far as player personnel goes.
Well, that's right, John. You know, my team, Chelsea, they basically, in the transfer window, acquired probably one of the top U.S. players in Christian Pulisic, and now he's going to get a chance to play with the best of the best.
Yeah, it's an interesting move, Steve, from the standpoint that this is a young kid that is from Hershey, Pennsylvania. He's of Croatian descent. His parents were both university soccer players in the U.S. He's been playing with Borussia Dortmund, which is a very good club in the Bundesliga, which is the top league in Germany and one of the top leagues in Europe. And he's played very well for that team. He's been there, I believe, since he was about 15 years old. He's currently 20 years old. This is a kid that has a big future. He's been a big part of that Dortmund side the last couple of years, gradually going from the youth team to the first team, scoring some goals. He's an attacking midfielder. He's going to find the going a little tougher at Chelsea, because I think there's just not only a little bit better quality team, but a much deeper team. So he's going to have a tougher time breaking in. The interesting thing about this transfer is that Chelsea have agreed to loan him back to Dortmund for the balance of the Bundesliga season. So we won't see him in the Premier League until August of 2019. But certainly this is a kid with a tremendous upside. Looks like he's got a lot of potential. He's 20 years old. Continuing to play in the Bundesliga will be better for him than playing in the Chelsea reserves. So I look for big things from this kid. And in terms of the dollars, $73 million US dollar signing, which I believe substantially breaks the previous record, which was when Wolfsburg signed a defender by the name of John Brooks back, I think it was in 2017, might have been in 2016, two or three years ago. This kid's got a lot of pressure on him, but he's certainly going to get some good coaching at Chelsea, and he's going to learn an awful lot about the British game playing with Chelsea, and they'll have the opportunity to break him in rather slowly. It won't be thrown right into the fire right off the bat. So good news all around, and certainly something that puts U.S. soccer a little bit higher on the map.
Well, and we need American players to playing with the top competition. I just don't think the MLS is quite where they need it to be. So, you know, I know DeAndre Yedlin, you know, he's playing over in England. Jeff Cameron, he's not playing in the Prem League. He's still getting some top flight competition. And that's what the U.S. needs to get these players so that we can get out there and play against the best teams in the world.
Oh, very much so. The parallel would be in hockey, where some of the Swedish and Finnish and Danish, Czechs, Russians all have to come to North America to play in the National Hockey League, which is a much better league than the professional leagues are in Europe. Swedish Elite League in Europe is very good, as is the KHL in Russia, but they're not in the class of the National Hockey League. So that's a great parallel when we talk about where MLS is in relation to Serie A, the English Premier League, the Bundesliga, and the top leagues in Portugal and Spain, and let's even include France in that, because that's a very good league as well. So, yeah, these kids from the States got to go to Europe. They've got to gain some experience playing with top flight teams, get good academy coaching, good professional coaching, and just soak in the atmosphere. I mean, it's a whole lot different playing before 70,000 people at Chelsea or Liverpool or Manchester United than it is playing at even one of the bigger stadiums in the U.S. And, of course, there's the culture of the game, which is also very ingrained in all of those European countries and European leagues. So good news all around for U.S. soccer.
Okay, let's quickly talk about probably the one outstanding game this weekend in the Prem League, which is Tottenham hosting your Manchester United.
Well, this will be the first real test for Manchester United since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took over as the quote-unquote interim manager of Manchester United. And boy, if he keeps winning the way that he has, they may take that interim tag away from him fairly quickly. They've turned it around. They've still got quite a gap to make up. But for the first time since Solskjaer took over, we're going to see them play a top-quality team. So how they fare on Sunday against Tottenham at Wembley is going to give us a real good idea of how quickly this thing has turned around, or if it's turned around at all, or whether they've just been able to take advantage of mediocre opposition. Game I'm looking forward to, it's 11:30 Eastern time. I believe it's being carried in the U.S. I know it's being carried here in Canada by a couple of the networks. I'm looking forward to seeing that, and just seeing how far Manchester United have come. They've basically turned their game around. They're playing a much more attacking game now. They're playing an interesting game, much more fun to watch. And certainly when you're winning, it makes it a lot more fun to watch. So I think that's probably the marquee game of the weekend as far as the English League is concerned, Steve.
John Poulter from Toronto, talking hockey and soccer here on the Sports Report. John, thanks very much, and we will do it again very soon down the road.
My pleasure as always, guys. Take care. Great to join you, and we'll chat later.
And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can get us online at internetfm.com and kwwradio.com. Programs on demand up there. So, internetfm.com and kwwradio.com. So, for John Poulter from Toronto, for Steve Leventhal from Chicago and SRN Broadcasting, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot. Take care. Have a great day. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Come back.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now, you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.